Hi, welcome to Jersey Mike's.
So how do shore points work?
As you can see, 6 regular number 13s plus 3 giant 7s equals a free regular number 13. But now, 8 number 13s, each plus a Pepsi and a Lay's, will also equal a free regular number 13. Or it could equal a regular free number 17 if you want.
Uh-huh, okay.
So Pepsi and Lay's now earn you more points towards free subs. It's simple math, really.
That adds up.
Exactly. Download the Jersey Mike's app and earn rewards toward free subs with every Pepsi, Lay's, and sub you purchase.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, Joe, we need to finish, you know, grassly outed a man by the name of Timothy Thibault in his first sentence, okay? And he said, I wrote to you regarding likely violations of federal laws and regulations of Bureau of Federal Investigation guidelines by Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Timothy Tib Thibault. And again, all of this is covered up by that very, very corrupt Merrick Garland. Very, very right. Corrupt. Okay, the Washington field office, based on a pattern of active public partisanship. But then it goes on. You were talking about a dirty cop by the name of Brian Auten.
FBI agent, right? He did all kinds of things. I've got 2 pages of all this stuff. He lied. He covered up the laptop, and he went to. He was the one that said, "Oh, Russian disinformation about Hunter Biden's laptop." I mean, he was involved in everything, and yet, what does he do? He gets rewarded and promoted.
Well, then he goes after Chris Wray, the director of the FBI. On his very corrupt track record,
right.
And here, so all of these, they've broken all of these laws, and here, you know, at least Grassley's going after them, and at least the word's getting out right here that all of the country out there today knows that Auten, and again, Brian Auten, and this Timothy Thibault are dirty cops, along with Chris Wray, so... At least there's some of us standing up. It's, you know, what's happening, they're doing this to our people. Now, here we had mentioned earlier about Andrew Tank of Houston described, you know, to us what his pretrial detention was like. And so we're going to just hear from him. So go ahead and play that clip.
Your mother mentioned that you guys, your rec time is spent in a cage.
Yeah, if we even get up at 7 o'clock in the morning... to go outside, it's literally like a hamster cage, as if we are guilty of severely heinous crimes. So it would be inside of a cage, behind a fence with razor wire on it, behind a wall with razor wire all over it, and we're still pretrial.
Wow. And do you go out into that cage with a few other people or just you?
They're one-man cages. So you go out with a bunch of people, but you're literally in your own little cage there. We're treated like second-class citizens here because we're pre-trial in a penitentiary, which is pretty unprecedented.
Pre-trial.
And since we're in a penitentiary, they keep us completely separated from everybody that's actually been found guilty, since we're still pre-trial, which that means that we don't get to make use of the rec yard at all. We don't get to go to the weight room. We don't get to go to any church services. We don't get to go to the library or the law library. There's actually even a music studio here because it's a penitentiary. We don't get to do any of that.
How many January 6ers are there with you?
5 of us now.
Okay. And have you spoken to – who's there, by the way, name if you can name them?
Thomas Ballard. Dominic Fazola, Doug Jensen, Sam Lazar.
What's the hardest thing about being away? Who do you miss the most?
I love my mom, but I miss my dog. I mean, right. that's tough, you know. You hope that your family's going to be around for a while, but you know your dog's not going to be. So you kind of think your time limited with your best friend there is a little... more
yeah.
Limited. I probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. There's times I've held him and cried, and he's been the only thing in the world that's really meant anything to me. So, yeah.
So again, he has limited time because he's sick. So it's understandable. Your mom's going to be around, you know, a while. So you're trying to raise money for a new attorney. You don't have a trial date set. Do you feel like hope in there? What keeps you strong?
really just knowing this is all a bunch of garbage, that, you know, but when we get out of this, we'll all be better. We'll be fine, you know, knowing this is not going to take us down. We're not going to be here forever, you know, a couple of years. If it turns out bad and we have to do some time, you know, a few years, and we'll be better off. You know, hopefully some good comes of this for the country, or that people can see what's going on with the clearly selective persecution.
Right.
You know, hopefully it'll wake people up to see. But, you know, if they don't get their news from certain areas, they have no idea what's really going on. You know, they only see the one-sided charade of the January 6th committee.
Right.
And what CNN and MSNBC lie about on the constant. So, you know, so like our first 4 months here, we were locked down 24 hours a day. So that would be 24 hours a day, 3 days a week, you would get out for 15 minutes or so to shower, which is actually not even legal. You're supposed to have at least an hour out per day. And that's if, you know, if you're on lockdown for, you know, like if we were disciplinary problems, if you were on death row, you're supposed to get at least an hour out a day,
right,
which we were not. So now it's, you know, roughly half of the time we're still locked down. Not to complain too much, because I am a guy from Texas, I'm used to the heat, but, you know, we're in a penitentiary, which is for the people, the worst of the worst. Well, it's also the original one that they built that has no air conditioning, so you sit in the hot box of that time, you know, so we're literally just sitting in there cooking for hours on end. And, you know, when you're pretrial, like, this place is supposed to be meant for the people that are the worst of the worst, but you have people here that are not even guilty having to go through that same stuff.
And what do you think about? What do you think about when you're sitting in there and, you know, like you described it, you're in a box, it's hot. Like, what goes through your mind all day long?
Trying to stay busy on other stuff, reading books, you know, trying not to dwell on the negative parts of that situation. So, you know, just read books and try and write letters back to the people that write us.
All right, so you're getting letters. That's good.
Most of them, I believe. I mean, we don't know what we don't get. You know, sometimes I get stuff that's a month or two old. Sometimes I've had people say, you know, 6 months after I thought they should have written me, they're like,
"This call is from a federal prison."
I've written you like two times, and I'm like, I haven't gotten anything. So, you know, who knows?
Well, how about, so your Bumble date, the girl that you met on Bumble, is the one that turned you in?
I didn't even meet her, but yeah, that's who first put that tip out there. Yeah.
So would you caution people to be careful who they talk to on dating sites?
Yes. Yeah. Because even that person tried to, on her profile, even tried to claim she was a conservative, and was like, yeah, I actually wouldn't have minded going to that before it happened. So.
Do you think she was a federal agent? Possibly? I mean, if she was...
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I didn't talk to the person. Even if I didn't talk to the person, you can't tell. So.
Do you think you would have gotten picked up if it weren't for that incident with Bumble?
I'm sorry, could you say that
Do you think you would have gotten picked up if you never had met her on Bumble?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, I was there by myself. I didn't talk to anybody. I wasn't out, you know, bragging. There was nothing on social media. So unless they went through and started geolocating every damn cell phone that was in there and figuring it out, then no, they would not have.
And why did you go there that day?
I mean, seeing decades of garbage. It's not just about an election, you know, just every day, you know, people like us get run around, we get lied to by Congress people, we get told they're going to do something for us, they're going to fight for us, and they never do. You know, it's just a multitude of things, you know. You see how they want to take over schools, how they want to take over people's kids, you know, every bit of culture, just tired of being treated like we're less than, you know, like we're the deplorables. And, you know, when you get a chance to actually just go and speak speak your mind, like you're supposed to with the First Amendment, you take that chance, you know. I've not really been one to really go to protests. I've gone to a couple Trump rallies, but, you know, just thought it was a better time than ever to go. You know, I'd been sitting around for a year because of COVID stuff, not doing anything, out of work, and just thought it was a good time to go. So.
All right. So what are your, what do you want America to know?
That was our minute piece. So we got about 40 seconds left too. So, to just start demanding answers, you know, if people aren't standing up and demanding other congresspeople to really start trying to get to the bottom of what's really happened that day and start demanding all the videos be released and all the communications of Pelosi to be released, then we're never going to know. You know, people got to get together and start getting with the representatives to find out the information.
Right.
All right, so this is about to cut us off.
All right.
We'll talk soon. I'll pass your info to...
All right. Joe, Nancy Pelosi was a big part of engineering this whole thing. She is an extremely wicked, an extremely wicked old woman there. Now, again...
Well, especially, she was the one, I want to tell the folks out there, in charge of security for Congress. She's really the head person. She's the one who turned down all the National Guard troops that Trump offered. She is the power behind the throne, so all of this really is laid at her feet. Nothing would happen there on January 6th or would have happened that day or in the hearing without her approval.
Now, the legitimate president of the United States, the actual legitimate Donald Trump, he's the legitimate president of the United States. Joe Biden was not elected in a fair and honest election. The whole thing was stolen. Here we're going to be showing, Lord's willing, come this Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. At 4 o'clock, we're going to be showing what really took place. You can see it for yourself. Nancy Pelosi is holding back, what is it, how many hours of... filming, yeah, more than hundreds. It's actually thousands of hours of video that she's hiding. She will not release.
The defense attorneys can't see. And besides this whole thing, the wrong people are in jail. Think of the people outside. This man we just listened to, Andrew Tate, he went to surrender. He had his hands held up. He was near the building. The cops were there. He's holding his hands up. And this guy comes up and pepper sprays him, even though he had his hands up, no weapons, was smiling, okay, you know. Now, then there was that, he said, then an officer came up that had a baton and mangled his hand so badly that he's now going to lose half his ring finger being amputated. They can't repair it. So here he got injured after just standing there getting maced, then got beaten with a baton. Then they had, remember that officer Leela Morris murdered that Roseanne Boyland. They kept beating her with a baton. It was seen on camera footage, but Nancy's not letting that be seen. And then there was that cop Michael Byrd, Lieutenant Michael Byrd, that shot Ashley Babbitt in cold blood.
That coward. Cold blood. That coward. That cowardly Michael Byrd. What, that coward shot
the
her.
They should be in jail. Aren't. And the people that were just, you know, went there, yes, they trespassed, but that's not a crime to put people in solitary confinement and threaten them with years in prison and insurrection. They got a little carried away and, you know, trespass went in, but, they're not guilty of insurrection. Insurrection is when you really try to take over a country and a government by force, and you can't tell me that a bunch, you saw that one guy, what do they call it, he had the headdress on, the buffalo headdress. He's walking. They were walking around, taking pictures, talking. Most of them, that wasn't an armed insurrection. There was no arms in the whole place. The only people that had arms were the cops.
And boy, you had a lot of dirty cops there that day, didn't you?
Yeah, a lot of them, and a lot of liars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And did you know Pastor Ernie today, I believe it was, no, 2 days ago, Mark Angst of Williamsport, I think that's Pennsylvania, yeah, Pennsylvania, committed suicide. He had pleaded guilty in the district federal court there, charged of demonstrating or parading in a restricted building. He was supposed to be facing a sentence in prison and a big fine, and he took his life a couple days ago. And he was one of those January 6th people that was just there to support Trump and protest the stolen election, and yeah, they're ruling it a suicide. So it's kind of a sad, sad story.
Absolutely. Nasty Pelosi stormtroopers. And again, folks, I'll bet Lieutenant Michael Byrd, I'll bet there's not an unarmed, innocent woman in the country that he'd be afraid to shoot in the face, huh?
Yeah.
There you go. So, folks, again, these were Nasty Pelosi stormtroopers that come in there. We've seen... And you know what? The idea is that they're supposed to be intimidating, putting the fear of them in us. Well, it's not. It's just making us angry.
Yeah, and some of us are getting... My prayer is that the listeners would out there, that millions of Americans would start getting angry, have, you know, righteous anger. God tells us we're allowed to get angry. We're allowed to have righteous anger. And we have kingdom authority, and it's time. We got mad and said, we're not going to take it anymore. We got to stand. Like, for an example, I want to read a story real quick. Communist British scientist dubbed Stalin's nanny, who wanted to face mask and social distancing forever, is given the top job at the World Health Organization. Professor Susan Michie was appointed chair of WHO's Behavioral Advisory Group to advise how to boost compliance with health policies like vaccine rollouts. She was nicknamed Stalin's nanny by the friends at her university for all her radical views. Yet when your fellow professors call you Stalin's nanny, could be a reason for it. She's the one that wanted masks forever. She was on BBC News last year. Anyway, so they take a lady like this and they make her in charge of one of the big compliance parts of the World Health Organization. We told you World Health Organization was crooked and bad, and now look who they're appointing to make you conform on the next time around, huh?
I hear you.
Make this stuff up, Pastor Ernie. We couldn't make this stuff up if we wanted to.
Speaking of making things up, here's an article by... Jim Hoft, okay, and he's been pretty known for being accurate,
yeah.
Right?
Pretty accurate.
Here's what he says. Caught. Michigan News Channel posts results to Republican primary election. The problem, Joe, is that the election hasn't taken place yet. It's next Tuesday, a week from today.
Oh, and somebody let the cat out of the bag that they already have the answer, right?
Right. Now, this has happened before. We've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back when Reagan was running against Carter, this happened before then, and they had it, and it was caught. And it was Dan Rather. It was Dan Rather. And this guy accidentally picked this up. It was a long story. But he put it out. He showed that they had already had the results. They had manufactured and were all ready to go. Here's what it says. Michigan News Channel 3 published the results of the Republican primary election. Rhino Tudor Dixon won, according to the results. And Trump hater Peter Meyer won his race, too. There's just one thing. The Michigan Republican primary is not for another week, on August 2nd. There you go. I mean, that's the credibility.
We warned people that they were going to cheat again, they would keep on cheating, and we can't, you know, we're going to have this big Republican blowout. We're warning people, you have to get out there, get involved in local politics. You have to be a poll watcher. You've got to get involved in this because they're going to try to cheat again. They've got to. They have nothing else, right?
Absolutely. Here's another good one. Abortion is the antithesis of health care. That's right. U.S. bishops condemn Women's Health Care Protection Act as the most unjust and extreme abortion bill our nation has ever seen. And that's another article by Joe Hoft. And here it goes on saying, here.
Destroying life is not health care.
Right. They call it killing babies. These are evil people. Aborting unborn children is the opposite of health care, so the U.S. bishops declared Monday in a statement condemning the Women's Health Protection Act, the most unjust and extreme abortion bill our nation has ever seen. On Friday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Women's Health Protection Act, a bill, you know, again, this is evil people. Joe, we've got to pray right now. In fact, I'll do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, these people love death. They love death, and they want to kill the innocent. They want death for the innocent. And, Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking you, and I'm hoping that other people out there will help me. Those, they will not, they refuse to repent. And so, Lord, I pray that you visit that death that they love. They love death. They hate you, God, that you would visit that very death that they want upon them. I pray, Father God, that you would do it. These are wicked people. They're wicked. They're ungodly. They're unclean. Yeah. Father God, and again, you know, and raise up pastors with courage, pastors that have the guts and the courage, Lord, that have the integrity and honesty to stand and tell the truth and be men, Father God. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, how about save the innocent and kill the guilty? I mean, you know, condemn the guilty, save the innocent. And to go with that, I've got a warning. Any of you out there in California, all California listeners, if you live out there, if you can move, move. If you have children in the public school system, get them out now, like next week. Because California has become the haven for the body mutilating crazies on your children, you know, double mastectomy of a pre-teenage girl. Yeah, this is health care. And California, as state officials have determined that treatments like chemicals that delay puberty and surgeries that move body parts, well, California is going to be a haven, that this is gender-affirming care. Even if it almost always leaves them sterile, that's okay. We're going to take care of the children. Even if it sets them up for lifelong health issues, that's all right. California is going to keep doing it. Even it puts them in a category of individuals with many times the suicide rate of the rest of the world, California is going to do it. And they are revoking custody for parents who allow their children. There's some complications in here about states' rights. Like if a family is in a state where their child can't have these surgeries, they can go to California, and they're passing a law in California that they're going to ignore the other state's laws and not turn in the parents who are bringing their children there to California to get mutilated and cut up. It's just the more of this. It's called SB 107, and it's the Pacific Justice Institute calls it the most brazen assault on fundamental parents' rights issue in the history of the state, maybe the entire nation. And it's even set up where a California court could take custody of a child from the parents to deliver these gender chemicals and surgeries if the state thinks the child needs them over the wishes of the parent. And remember, we have on this program told you many, many, many times, there have been several studies out there, several of them, that about 80-85% of these children that are confused, if you leave them alone, by the time they mature, 17, 18, 19, the problem is solved and fixed. So 80-85% of these confused children, the problem will handle itself, take care of itself, solve itself. But they're jumping in there and want to start working on children 7, 8, 9, you know, years old. especially then around 11, 12, they're allowed to start taking hormones, chemical treatments, surgeries. This is obscene. In other words, they're committing child abuse when the science is. Remember, they're the ones, listen to the science, listen to the science. Think about that. 80 to 85 out of 100 of these confused children, if left alone, will come out of it okay and find themselves naturally, no help needed.
Joe, it used to be even higher than that.
Yeah.
And the problem you have nowadays is within these horrible,
like
horrible teachers in the public school system, these so-called politically correct, these horrible, promote, I mean, they encourage, they convince the children.
Indoctrination, they're confusing them, indoctrinating them, they're, you know, putting things in their head when they're young and vulnerable. So that's right. It went from a very high ratio to 80, 85, and it was like 95 and above, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Here I'm going to be – there's something that's happening in our country that's very, very prevalent. And a lot of people don't realize what it is, but I'm going to be – I'm not going to mention it right now. I'm going to be preaching on this particular thing, and that'll be – for next week, we'll have that. But it's going to be, it might surprise you to find out what is behind a whole lot of this wickedness, this evil. Okay, so anyhow, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. We're going to open the phone lines now at 888-677-9673. Okay, let's go to Ken in Boston. Ken, you're in the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Been listening a long time. Thank you for your boldness and preaching the truth of the Word of God. And just pray you guys have a continued success in pointing people to Christ.
I had a
question on the Novavax shot coming out. Is that any different from what's out already?
I really don't know. I'd have to find out about that. I got to look into that. Okay.
Reason I ask is I need you to pray for my wife. So we're having a baby within the next week, number two, a son. We got a daughter already, six. And what was my question? Oh,
they're,
heard you
they're trying to make her take a shot?
Yeah, at MGH, she works, well, I'm sorry for mentioning the exact spot where she works, but at her job at the hospital, she they forced her to take the shot, the first one, and she didn't want the mRNA, so she did the J&J, and we didn't want her to do it in the first place. So we tried the cleanses and stuff, but it was too late by the time she had taken it already. We didn't have the right cleanses and stuff from Wendy. But now they're trying to force her to take the booster. And
no, tell her, do not take the booster, whatever she does.
Yeah. If she has to find a new job, save her, save the baby. You know,
they're putting her on maternity. Well, her maternity leave starts, like, would start now. They bumped her out of work 2 weeks early with no pay. 2 weeks ago.
That's absolute tyranny.
Yeah, and we just bought a house. And so, you know, this is all kinds of fun.
Well, tell us this. Tell us who it is.
They allow her to have an exemption on the shot because she told them she didn't want to take it because she had a baby and she wanted to protect the baby, and they gave her up to the end of her first 8 weeks of maternity leave to get the shot. And then that basically nulls her final, 12 weeks, because she's allowed 20 weeks, that basically they're only going to give her 8 weeks of maternity leave, and then after that, it basically, like, you know, you're on your own if you don't get your shot by the end of your first 8 weeks.
What's your wife's name, first name?
Cynthia, like Saint, and then I-A, like, so it sounds like Cynthia when you say it, but it's Cynthia. She's from Haiti.
Cynthia.
Cynthia, okay, now... What is the name? Where is that hospital that you work? What's its name?
It's MGH, Mass General.
MGH.
And her boss was nice enough to call her, like her boss's boss called her, the head of the food and beverage department, and called her and said, you know, what's going on? They're trying to terminate you, and you didn't get your shot, you know. And Santa said she wanted to protect the baby from any of these dumb boosters and any of this garbage. And her boss was nice enough to allow them to do an exemption up until the end of September. But it's ridiculous, and it's
well, here's the thing: as many as 95% of these women who were pregnant, who got the shot, the doubles, both of them, miscarried. They miscarried.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so she didn't want that. Absolutely. And then she ended up having a blood clot in the back of her knee about three months ago.
With Johnson & Johnson, that happens a lot.
I know. I don't know if that's specifically from that or if it's from being on her feet. She works in the kitchen. But I get a sad, funny feeling that it's from the dumb shot.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Cynthia up to you right now. And Lord, just ask the folks out there all across the country to hold her and all of these women, Lord God, that that are pregnant, Father God, Lord, and that you would be with her, Lord, and that you would keep her from getting the second kill shot. And Lord, that you would come against the wicked people, come against these wicked people that are promoting death for money. Death for money. And that's what it's all about. And so, Father God, again, we just want to hold her up and ask that you would bless her in every area where she might receive that blessing. You would turn her desires towards you in all things at all times, completely and totally. And, Father God, that you would, again, bring these wicked people that are promoting these kill shots, bring them to repentance, Father God. Or, Lord, remove them so they cannot continue to harm the innocent. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. Let's go to Kurt in Michigan. Kurt, you're in the air.
God bless you, Mr. Sanders, man. My wife and I, we just love you very much. And we actually sent you a donation and a letter not too long ago this week about we live next to, we believe, Wiccans or Satanists, and they got this big festival that goes on every August, usually probably the 5th through the 7th year. Anyways, it's just, we want you to pray for us, and we know you'll take care of that for us and that, but my biggest concern was, too, about this election thing. We have a senator up here, and he covers the 38th District of Michigan, and it's up, we're up in the U.S. of Michigan. His name is Edward McBroom. Well, I've talked to this man over and over again. I even asked him, did you see the 2000 Mule movie? And he said, yes, I did. And well, anyways, way back in January 7th of 2021, we were at another place, an old building up in Houghton, Michigan, and he claimed back then there's no fraud, nothing wrong, Biden won the election.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there going, kidding me, we're screaming. I mean, we're just a small community, but we're screaming at him. Well, I just talked to him about less than a month ago about the 2000 movie, and he said, there's no proof there. There is absolutely no proof. You know, red dots on the screen does not prove anything. And we're like, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. But anyway, there's two other people that are running for the senatorness, and their name is Matthew Furick and Kayla Wicks. And I just hope anybody listening to your show from again, does not vote Ed McBroom in senator anymore, because even over to, there's no way you can watch that movie or listen.
So he's a rhino then, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just disgusting, you know. I mean, this guy, I just saw him this week. He's at a round table at Michigan Tech trying to get another, you know, something to do with the logging industry. I mean, he's just always there for all the dumb things, and it just, oh, it's just disgusting.
We have a lot of listeners. Yeah, we have a lot of listeners. We're on about three stations in Michigan. So tell the folks again, name all three candidates and tell them who not to vote for.
Okay, so do not vote for Edward McBroom, and he's in the 38th district state senator, and that's up here in the upper Michigan, upper part of the Mitt and the UP. And the other two to vote for is Matthew Furick or Kayla Wickstrom.
And which would be the best of the two, do you know?
I would say Matthew Furick.
Okay. All right.
But I just want to say one last thing. Thank you so much, Pastor. My wife and I, we love you. You are a man of God, and you are one of the last ones out here. I mean, and we love you so much. So thank you, and God bless you. And you, Joe, you're awesome, too. So God bless your whole ministry.
Thank you much.
Thank you very much for that, for those kind words. God bless you.
Remember, our boss tells us what he wants us to do, so we have to obey him.
Absolutely. All right, thank you so much. All right, let's move on. Do we have any other callers there right now? Let's go to John and Lorraine.
Yeah, I think the real problem is the total control by the media, by the most powerful and anti-human forces in the world, the military-industrial complex, the drug vaccine cartel, and the Israeli lobby. They're all pushing us towards the trillion-dollar ruinous war budgets that were extorted from by all of this propaganda through the CIA, the Pentagon, and big business, billionaire-controlled, and old media.
All righty, there you go. John, are you there? We're losing you.
Please check Global Research and the Gray Zone, two websites that will tell the truth, but don't resort to military-industrial complex red-baiting that is really the fueling the arson that is bringing us into justifying these wars around the world, the killing of millions of men, women, children, and babies and embryos in Vietnam and Korea and beyond by the United States in the name of anti-communism, which has been the main arson accelerant that has been used to kill millions of people around the world. I think you've got to get other sources of information and not bring God.
We've been on that, the military-industrial complex. We've been on the warmongers, and especially when it comes to Vietnam. Joe and I are both veterans. We know all about that. We've been talking about that now for 50 years. So
I haven't noticed that. It's about 0.1% of the time, and the other 99% is pushing their warmongering propaganda against Russia, China, Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, and any country that disobeys the dictates of the crooks and liars in Washington that wants to be independent of the military-industrial complex enforcement of the IMF and World Bank.
All righty. Well, you know, I've got nothing good to say for North Korea or for China for their human rights violations, but we got to move on. Thanks for calling. Okay, now we have, is he Clifford or is he Joe tonight? We'll find out who he is. Are you there, Cliff?
Joe Clifford.
Yeah, the middle name is from my Irish grandfather, Christopher Joe. Yeah, that's
all righty, Christopher Joe.
But Clifford, yeah, we'll go with. But anyway, so what? One thing is, first of all, if you look at one little thing that's I was thinking about was the lack of fear of a nuclear response from Russia. Now, you know, these people don't have an iota of fear of God in the slightest, so they're not going to be afraid of getting nuked by Russia. Now, I listened to an interview with Michael Adams on the Sergeant Reports podcast, and I don't agree with what Michael Adams necessarily is saying, but he's speculating that Joe Biden wants Russia to nuke a couple of American cities. He's actually saying that, and I would agree with the proposition that Biden just wants to destroy America in every way possible, you know, 100%. But I want to go to Psalm 55 in relation to the imprecatory prayer, looking at verse 15 and 18. Now, it seems to me like David's personal situation is that he felt like he needed to flee by himself to the wilderness. He was betrayed even by people that were confidants or close to him. But he goes in verse 15, says, let death seize them.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that passage, but go ahead.
Right, right. But also in verse 18, he said, many are with me. Now, that's something I didn't quite catch before. Now, I think he's talking about an angelic force in that particular verse.
That would probably have an application right there. Yeah, I would say so, too.
Yeah,
he goes on. Let's go back to verse 15 when he says, "Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them." Now, here he's referring. These are the enemies of God. You know, he's referring to David, and most of these imprecatory prayers are against the enemies of God, and so it's like. We're not to do that against, we could be enemies. Like Joe and I could have an argument. Yeah, we could have an argument and feel each other's enemies, but it would be wrong for us to pray in a precatory prayer against our enemy. We could pray for, if we disagreed, that the other would repent. But
God
here,
would help us, you know, come together.
Right, but these are the enemies of God that David is praying for when he says, and let death seize upon them, let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. Now, as for me, I call upon God that the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He that delivereth my soul in peace for the battle that was against me, for there were many with me, God shall hear and afflict them, even if he abided of old, Selah, because they have no changes before, they fear not God. And so these people are like the ones of today that have refused to repent. They refuse to repent. They've hardened their hearts. The feminist movement, these women, the entire Democratic Communist Party had just hardened their hearts against God.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting because what David is doing is really, these people are not more so even against God than David, basically.
They're more against God than they are David.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would rephrase it, in modern terms, or I could also say verse 15 is let the grip of death be upon them. In other words, they can't shake it off, you know, like the grip of death is upon them would be another phraseology I would use looking up that
we
word.
We say repent or perish. Repent or perish.
Yeah.
They're evil enough that they either have to change or God take them out because we can't deal with them.
Right. Well, that's what the Lord says. He said, repent or likewise you shall perish, okay? And so... And see, when we pray these imprecatory prayers, we only pray them against those that refuse to repent, that the Lord would remove them so that they cannot continue to harm and kill the innocent. These people are wicked. There's not enough blood flowing through the veins of Joe Biden to quench his thirst for blood of the unborn. And it's the same thing with all of the Democratic Communist Collective. They love death. They love death in any way, shape, or form they can get death.
Well, Well, another thing, too, is David did not have enough natural manpower with him, I think. He didn't have the enforcement mechanism against these people. He was probably outnumbered. And, you know, he needed supernatural reinforcements of angels.
Well, David won a whole lot more battles than he ever lost. He didn't lose very many. And here, let me read just the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, and they were drawn with swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And so here, again, David and his mighty men, they didn't lose any battles. I mean, they were out there, but
they didn't back off. They never.
Right.
They always, charged.
Absolutely. Got to move on, Cliff. Okay, who do we have next? Steve, you're in the air.
Pastor Sanders, Pastor Joe, how long have you guys been teaming up together?
I
don't know. It's been a long time.
It's been a very, very long time. I think it was back before. It was back before the big frost, right, Joe?
Well, wine gets better as it ages, right?
Yeah, but we ain't wine.
I'll tell you what, you guys are better now than you have ever been, ever. But does anybody know what Real America's Voice is, the channel itself? Do you know anybody that watches it? The Steve Bannon Show, I mean, all the other people on there. There's a show at night called Live in Studio 6B. They look like four clowns up there. These guys are right behind Steve Bannon and people. But Merrick Garland, this is getting serious. I turned on the last 5 minutes of Trump's speech. You would still think he was president. You would have thought he never left. I mean, he was going after everybody. But he basically said at the end, he knows what's going on. He knows what's coming our way. And he said, China's next.
Absolutely. Well, you know, he named some of the things that he did during, while he was in office, the world, you know, remember, the world, America had respect in the world. The world fear us. Today the world don't fear us. They laugh at us. He was talking about, you know, while he was in, our military was at its peak. He was building the military. They're destroying our military. They're doing everything they can today to destroy and weaken our military.
They're doing a very good job, very coordinated. Go ahead, finish.
Well, I'll just give you a few things that Trump said. We were totally energy independent. We were the world's largest exporter of oil. I remember when he was there, I was paying $1.89 a gallon of gas. The invasion on our border was stopped. Remember, he had totally stopped the invasion on our border. And here, you know, in fact, it was the most secure border for real, ever. Food prices were affordable, okay?
He built golf courses. He built buildings with his name on it. He could have put his name on the wall. He needed two more weeks, like 100 miles or something like that. And the money that he got and what he had to go through and what these people are doing, it's beyond a bad soap opera and infomercial. That was my joke. But my mom always said words have power. And if anybody remembers a guy named Hunter Biden, his first name's Hunter. So that's all I'm going to say on that. But this is getting serious, and it's coming down on them. I just don't know how much we have left in our bullpen and how many power hitters we got sitting on the bench, because we're going to need somebody to swing, throw, and maybe some catchers, other people doing stuff they've never done before. But this is going to be a bad winter.
Well, right. Ronald Reagan said it very clearly that he was surprised that those that have the most to lose often do the least to prevent it. All right, thank you.
Step above us. God bless
you. Yeah. All right, we're out of time for tonight. And so, Joe, I think I did it last night. Or did you do it last night?
I did.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to do it tonight. How's that? Let's tell the folks about the most important thing that they can ever do. There's one thing and one thing only that is the most important thing that you'll ever do. And that is, to call upon the name of the Lord as God's Word, the Bible says. Now, here's reality. We get into reality. The reality is that everybody out there listening to me tonight will at some point die. That's going to happen. That's reality. Number two, when that happens, there will be the judgment. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe whatever you want, but there will be a judgment. And in that judgment, you're either going to be found guilty or innocent. If you're found innocent of that judgment, that means that you have called upon the name of the Lord and you're covered. If you're found not guilty, if you die in your sin, unrepentant sin, then God has said this, God who cannot lie, you don't have much of a future. You're going to be spending eternity in hell. Now, you say, well, I don't think that's fair. It don't matter what you think. You say, you can think what you want. It doesn't matter. It's what God thinks that matters. It's what God says that matters, okay? And that's the way, that's just the way it is. That's reality, okay? The old saying, it is what it is, well, that's what it is. Now, you don't have to do that. If you're listening to me right now and you end up in hell, it's because you did it yourself. You placed yourself there. Why? Well, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That doesn't mean he loved every man, woman, and child. And what he's telling you is he loved those out there. And it wasn't God's will. It was not his will that anybody would come short of the glory, that any would be lost. But he knew that that wasn't the case. And just like I'm telling you right now out there, there are those of you listening to me out there that say, well, I don't choose to believe that. I don't want to believe that. And if I don't believe it, it can't affect me. Well, it will affect you. And so here's your options. The Lord Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He did what only he could do. See, you could never do that for yourself. You could never in any way pay for your salvation because you were a sinner. Only the Lord Jesus could answer that. Only that he could do it. And he did. He took your place. He died the most horrible death you could die upon that cross. He suffered like no man ever suffered. God became flesh, and he suffered upon that cross, and he did it for you. Now here's what you are to do. To avoid that burning lake of fire and to end up in glory with God and the saints above. You pray to the Father. You ask God the Father to forgive you of your sin. You acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and need a Savior. And you pray, and he'll honor that commitment. If you ask and you mean it, and you ask for forgiveness of your sinful ways. And then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, in all things, at all times, completely and totally, without any reservations. That's what he says, call upon his name. And he'll do that. And if you do that, God has said that you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, and an heir of the kingdom. And you will be on your road to eternity. And so, that's your choice. You can do that, or you can fail to do that. You can reject the Lord, reject what he says, and be on your way to eternal hell fire. There you go. That's your options. Well, Joe, we're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, 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 let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.